to do today is to introduce you to some of the work that our Nano Ag group has been doing at Utah State University. We have a group of people who are highly interdisciplinary, ranging from soil science, biology, into engineering, and we're interested in what's happening in the rhizosphere. And for a test plant, we've used wheat because it's globally growing. We've addressed a couple of questions. One of them is shown on this slide, and that is the problem that we're having with increasing drought in agricultural lands. You can see on this heat map that there are considerable areas of the world which are extremely drought-stressed, and therefore plant yield will be affected. So one of the questions that our group has started with a long time ago was, were microbes that are associated with the plant able to confer tolerance to drought? And what we show here is a bacterium called Pseudomonas chlorophyllus 06. We have Dr. Kim sitting in the audience, and he was a graduate student starting to work on this about 25 years ago. This bacteria came from field-grown wheat roots, calcareous soil, dry land conditions, so that at the time of harvest, which was at maturity, both the plant and the microbe had undergone periods of drought stress. This bacterium is well able and is a very aggressive colonizer of the plant roots. It can do this easily from a seed inoculum. And so the question that we have been asking more recently is, what about drought stress? There are other publications which indicate that many microbes, such as the endophytes we heard about earlier, can lead to protection against drought stress. And this is one of our studies. We have wheat grown normally for 7 days, so this is normal hydration, followed by a drought period of 6 days. And this is just their image. What we see is that the plants without PCO6 colonization now have shoots that are limp, they lean over, whereas those with PCO6 are more rigid, they're more turgid. And on drying those leaves, what we find is that there is a higher amount of water within the leaves of the plants that are colonized. Showing this again in a slightly different modified system, we had normal plants droughted this time for 7 days and then rehydrated. The plants on the left did not have PCO6, and they did not recover from that drought experiment, whereas the plants on the right that were colonized with PCO6 still retained viability, i.e. plants with the colonized roots survived better. Interested in the mechanisms that can account for this drought protection, and a couple of them are shown on here. What these are SEM images, and you can see that for the control root, you can make out the root hairs on the root surface quite easily. There are a few particles. These are the growth matrix particles in which the plants were grown. This is your wheat. Whereas when we have PCO6 present from a seed inoculum, what we find is that there are large patches on the root that are intensely colonized by the bacterial cells. The bacteria are being fed by the nutrients that are being released from the plant roots. And so they form a biofilm. And if you dry out that biofilm, you can show that's about 94% water. So in other words, patches of these roots, when they are colonized by the bacteria, now have this protective hydrated gel over their surfaces. Another thing that Yong Cho was responsible for was finding out that PCO6 metabolizes those root exudates. There's partial fermentation metabolism going on, and we get the production of a volatile. It's called 2,3-butanediol. And this is a chemical that will induce stomatal closure in the shoot tissues. So we've got partial stomatal closure, we've got a hydrated matrix over the gel, and this can contribute to drought tolerance. Another project that our nano-ag group has been looking at is, what about biofertilization? What we know is that worldwide there are regions where the soils are deficient in their ability to provide all of the essential elements needed for the plant to grow effectively. This map is another heat map, only we're looking at zinc bioavailability. In some regions it's extremely low, and in other regions it is medium deficient. This is a problem. The plants don't grow well, and when you eat locally, if you're eating plants that are low in zinc, you become low in zinc. Your health suffers, especially that of children. Similarly, there are soils that are copper deficient. This is an example from up in Canada, where barley was grown on a copper deficient soil in Alberta. Its efficacy of growing could be restored by adding copper fertilization. So, the question that our group was looking at is, can nanoparticles, NPs is our abbreviation for nanoparticles, help supply copper and zinc to the plant? And like other people, we've demonstrated that this is possible when you supply to the root zone either zinc oxide, which will supply zinc, or copper oxide, nanoparticles. A nanoparticle is small. It's less than 100 nanometer in one dimension. So we have uptake of these essential elements when we supply to the roots these nanoparticles. In some cases, the nanoparticle may go into the plant itself. In other cases, you may get dissolution, especially with the zinc oxide nanoparticle, and then uptake of the ions. So what happens when you combine the two? We're looking at that three-way system of the plant, the nanoparticle, and root colonization by a beneficial organism, Pseudomonas chlorophyllus 06. These are roots taken from wheat seedlings that were put through that growth regime of 7 days normal growth, 6 days of drought. The control roots exist. Plants are established. But the roots are in better shape if we have colonized the seed with PC06. And there are some lateral branches apparent which don't seem to be there in the control. Studies with just adding nanoparticles, copper oxide or zinc oxide, and this has been done with many different plants and many different groups, show that both of them depress root growth. There's very little effect on shoot growth, providing that they're at non-lethal levels. With copper oxide, you get extensive root shortening. With the zinc oxide nanoparticles, you have induction of mammoth amounts of lateral roots. So just a simple metal seems to condition the morphology of the root. Okay, shifting to doing some microscopy, what we see is that roots that were growing with PCO6, they look like control roots. This is just the root tip, 1 millimeter bar, and the root hairs start at about 1.5 up to 2 millimeters from the root cap. When we have zinc oxide, zinc oxide nanoparticles, the story is about pretty much the same. But when we put in the copper oxide, what we see is with these nanoparticles, there is intense early formation. This is the root cap. There's early formation of root hairs, and the root hairs are very extended. So we've got some modifications going on with these nanoparticles that may help with drought. Lateral root formation, and each lateral will have its root hairs, and then pronounced root hair formation with the copper oxide nanoparticles. So we did the experiment, 7 days of growth, 6 days of drought, and then we looked for the amount of water that is in the roots, and what we find is that whenever we have PCO6, independent of whether there was also copper oxide or zinc oxide nanoparticles, that there is more water in those shoots, i.e. the protective effect of colonization by PCO6 was not eliminated by drought protection, was not eliminated by the presence of the nanoparticles. Doing some SEM, we found that even in the presence of the nanoparticles, there was good biofilm formation by PCO6. You can actually see on this lower magnification image, this is 200 microns, these deposits, these black deposits here, are those of the copper oxide nanoparticles. They're also on the root surface. When we go down to the level of magnification that you can get with SEM. We see that biofilm, and what we see are little bumps now, and when we do EDS analysis to look at the elemental composition at a particular site, these are different spectral analysis, what we can find at some of these bumps, this is the analysis for this spectra 4, is that we do have copper present. This is a copper oxide nanoparticle-owned root. So the nanoparticles seem to become embedded in the biofilm of the cell. They don't stop the bacterium growing. It still forms a biofilm. There's still water there. And what we actually see is that if we look at expression in the root tissue, that the presence of PCO6 downplays the activation of metal-tolerant responsive genes in that root. So the plant can protect itself against heavy metals by producing these protective enzymes. And when we look at the genes encoding metallothionein, a chemocyanin, or a blue copper binding protein, they are highly expressed if we grow the plant just with copper oxide nanoparticles. When we have the plant with its ability to be colonized in a biofilm formed by PCO6, the expression of those genes is still elevated over a control of no treatments, but it is reduced 2 to 3-fold. So the plant seems to be somewhat protected by that biofilm gel. And this is quite well documented by people who studied phytoremediation of heavy metals. So in conclusion, what we find is that a native root colonizing microbe was able to cause drought stress tolerance in wheat. And we think that probably is occurring in the field. But what was pertaining to the possible use of these nanoparticles in agriculture was the fact that the copper oxide and nanoparticles and zinc oxide nanoparticles, even though they caused some change in root morphology, it didn't prevent PCO6 from inducing drought tolerance. So, we move on to question time if anyone has questions. Okay, the question was, can PCO6 be added to seed treatments commercially? The answer is yes. It's done widely with Bacillus isolates. The advantage of Bacillus is that they form spores which are resilient and have a long shelf life. The problem with the pseudomonads is that they don't tend to have a long shelf life in the formulations that we have at present time. So people are working on that. It could be in Farrow, yes. And again, Young Cho Kim's colleagues are working on those sort of applications, yes. So, yes, we have one more.
Sorry, this is the first few minutes of your talk. Have you had reason to believe that similar pseudomonads would have these functions in a wide variety?
Mm-hmm. When we did a survey, there are probably 20-odd groups of people working on these pseudomonads worldwide, many different crops. They tend to be generalists. And each organism probably has a different genetic component or capacity, but many of them seem to have the same genes as the PCO6 and the 3084 that have been studied in this country. So the answer probably is yes. In other words, the plants know how to make themselves grow better. They nurture the growth of these, what we call probiotic organisms, on their root surfaces. That has been studied by Young Cho Kim's group in Korea. And you have a poster with another organism. Yes? Thank you.